One verse, verse 16 of Exodus chapter 20. It's the ninth of the Ten Commandments in the Decalogue. Follow with me. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, I've chosen the title of my message intentionally, The Sanctity of Truth. Normally, we think of the sanctity of marriage, and we looked at that, the sanctity of life, and we looked at that. But we don't normally think of truth in the category of being from God or the sanctity of truth. But I've chosen it for two reasons. I want you to understand them. Number one, truth is intrinsic to God's nature and character. If you don't get anything else I say all morning, grab a hold of that. Truth is intrinsic to God's nature and character. You know, the Bible actually says that God is not a man that he should lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Even though God is omnipotent and he's sovereign and he can do all things, he cannot violate his own nature. And as far as his nature is concerned, he's a God of holiness, righteousness, and truth. God is the God of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And the Bible is the Word of Truth. Amen? So if we're believers, we obviously need to be speaking the truth. Then the second reason is because lies are intrinsic to Satan's nature and character. So here we have God is truth and Satan is lies. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Satan is called the father of lies. He's the source of all lying. And the first and original lie, you shall not die, you shall be like God, your eyes will be open. He deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden, and Adam took the fruit with her and ate, has plunged this whole world throughout man's history into darkness and lies and death. We live in a world that has abandoned God, so we have abandoned objective truth. Have you ever kind of wondered why is it that our culture today seems to just go so berserk and there's so much lying going on and so many people believing falsehoods? They choose to believe the philosophy of Immanuel Kant. I did a little research on the philosopher Immanuel Kant, German philosopher who during the Enlightenment died in 1804. He taught that no one could ever know objective truth, that all one could ever do was to impose one's personal subjective moral categories or mental categories into reality. And that is a description of our culture today. There is no absolute truth. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And whatever you want to be true is true. If I'm a man biologically and I want to say I'm a woman, then it's true I really am a woman, or vice versa. And we've rejected completely objective truth found in God and comes from God, and we've taken the lie of this philosophy that everything is relative. According to Kant, truth is relative and it's only subject to the power of the mind. So we live in a world of lies and a world of liars. Truth-telling has fallen on hard times, but we know as Christians that God and His Word are true. Amen? So now, no matter how much lying goes on in the world around us, we need to take a stand on God's unchanging truth. But it all started with Satan in the Garden of Eden, who is the father of all lies. You shall not surely die. You will be as gods. That's the great lie from the pit of hell. There was a book done years ago. It was called The Day America Told the Truth by Patterson and Kim. They've discovered in their interviews that two out of every three believe in America that there's nothing wrong with telling a lie. So for every three people, two of them don't believe there's anything wrong with lying. So we need this ninth commandment today more than ever. Thou shalt not bear false witness or lie against thy neighbor. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, there are three main points, and I don't want to lose you because I have a whole bunch of sub-points under these three main points, so we're going to do our best. Some of them will be on the screen, but I want to follow through and first of all ask the question, is lying prohibited by God? So the lying, the prohibition, verse 16, go back there with me. God says, thou shalt what? Not. Underline the word not. Bear false witness, which means to lie, Notice the context, against thy neighbor. Now, this prohibition in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, in the context is this commandment is that of perjury and perjuring oneself in a judicial trial or hearing. And I want to make that clear. The context is in the context of a courtroom, and that you are giving your testimony that you're not to perjure yourself or lie, not just because you swear on the Bible, but because God says in His Word, thou shalt not lie against thy neighbor. But it's the courtroom setting is what it's dealing with. But it also includes any form of lying. This is where it gets challenging, because there are so many different ways that we can lie. We have a very narrow and limited concept of what it means to lie. Let me give you a definition of lying. Lying is to make a statement that one knows is false with the intent to deceive, or anything that gives or is meant to give a false impression, whether by your words, this is a sin of a tongue, or actions, or by your silence. You can commit it by omitting speaking the truth when you should speak up. So the scriptures are clear. God hates lying in any form. So when it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, though it has the contents of a courtroom, it applies in any area of life. Let me give you a few verses to write down. Write down Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Now that pretty much says it like it is. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Then write down Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 11. Don't lie one to another. Now that's pretty hard to miss, right? Don't lie to one another. Lying is prohibited. And then Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 to 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, and then second on the list is a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And then when you come down to verse 19, it says a false witness that speaketh lies. So I could go on and on and on. And again, I was overwhelmed putting this sermon together and doing my study on lying in the Bible. Everything's about lying in the Bible and telling the truth. Started with Satan in the Garden of Eden, and God, who is true, always speaks the truth. But it is a sin that's commonly committed by the tongue. My second main point, who can we lie to? We should not lie. Who can we lie to? Three categories: our neighbor, which is the context, ourselves, and to God. Now, I could expand this, but I wanted to reduce it to these three. Three different people we lie to. We lie to our neighbors, we lie to ourselves, and we lie to God. Let's look first of all at what it is to lie to our neighbor. Write down Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, where Paul says, wherefore, and I love this, putting away lying. It means to take off a soiled piece of garment, like you would take off a dirty shirt. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? For we are members one of another. Now remember, in the section of the Ten Commandments, we're dealing with our relationships with our neighbors. And Jesus said we should love our neighbor as ourself. So the context here is loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor means that you don't kill him, right? Loving your neighbor means you don't steal his wife and commit adultery. Loving his neighbor means you don't steal from him. Loving your neighbor means you don't lie to him. Loving your neighbor means you don't murder him. They're all there in this context. But we are also to, as Christians, speak the truth. So this Ephesians 4:25 is the counterpart, the positive counterpart, to the negative in the commandment, the Decalogue. Thou shalt not lie, but thou shalt speak the truth, because we're members one of another. Now, Paul is saying, stop lying to your neighbor, put it off. But how do we lie to our neighbors? And again, there's lots of ways, but let me list some of them in three categories. First of all, there are what I call destructive lying. This is lies born of malicious intent. You purposely, intentionally, maliciously try to lie to hurt another individual. Now, you might say, well, Pastor John, aren't all lies destructive? Yes. Sin leads to death, and lying is a sin. But this is malicious, intentional, destructive lying. So it comes under the heading of slander and gossip. The Bible calls them whisperers or tale bearers. It's a false tale that damages a person's character or reputation. It is very destructive. So you hear a whisper about somebody else. You don't know if it's true or not, but you whisper. How do you like my whisper? Did you know? No, what? Tell me. It also tells you something about your own heart if you're listening to that kind of stuff. We should always ask, is it true? And get to the source. Go to the source. But when you're passing on gossip, when you're passing on slander, you are a liar. Slander is a really horrible thing, and gossip is a terrible thing. I think of Joseph. Remember when Joseph got lied about, sold as a slave? And he was in Potiphar's house, and Mrs. Potiphar got eyes for Joseph, said, Joseph, come lie with me. And Joseph resisted that temptation. And what did she do? She lied about Joseph. And where did he end up? In prison, right? So Joseph told the truth, and he went to prison. That's why, I'm going to get there in a moment, many times out of fear, we sometimes lie to cover ourselves because we don't want to suffer and speak the truth. And then I think of King Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21, who coveted Naboth's vineyard. Now, we won't turn there, but I love the story. And the king was the king, and he had everything he'd ever want. And right next to his palace, there was this beautiful vineyard owned by a guy named Naboth. And so he contacted Naboth. He said, look, you have a beautiful vineyard. It's right next to my palace. I'm going to buy it from you. I'll give you whatever you want. I'll trade you another good vineyard, but I really like your vineyard. So he was coveting. We'll get there next Sunday. And Naboth says, I'm sorry, king, but I can't sell it. It belongs to my family, and it belongs to my children and their children's children. And even in the book of Leviticus, he was instructed by God that he couldn't sell that land and take it away from his inheritance. So he told the king no. Well, the king got all upset. King went home, threw himself on the bed, facing the wall, and started whining and pouting and complaining. His wife shows up. You know who she was? Jezebel. That tells you everything. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this, but she says, you big baby, you wimp, you. What is your problem? And he starts crying. Naboth won't sell me his vineyard, and I want it. She goes, well, aren't you the king? What's the deal here? She goes, I'll get the vineyard for you. And so she writes this false letter to the elders of the city where Naboth lived. And they said, she said, son, have a celebration and make Naboth the celebrated guest at that celebration, honored guest. And then hire two sons of Belial, some really wicked men, and have them falsely testify that Naboth blasphemed God and the king and have him put to death. That's exactly what happened. They were selling the big party, having a big celebration. And two of these wicked men said, we heard Naboth curse the king and God. It was an outright flat lie. This is what you call a direct lie. Just a direct lie for the purpose of hatred and malice. And they took Naboth out of the party, the celebration, and they stoned him to death. Then when Ahaz found out that Naboth died and he could just go in and take it. Now, starts with King Ahab coveting. He wanted the vineyard. Secondly, he lied. Thirdly, he murdered. And then fourthly, he stole the man's vineyard. So all these laws were violated by this king. So he's walking through the vineyard. Naboth's dead. My wife got it for me. Everyone needs a wife like Jezebel, right? If you ever have any girls in your family, don't name them Jezebel. I'd like you to meet my daughter, Jezebel. Not good. And as he's walking to the vineyard, probably eating some of his grapes, felt so good about himself, Guess who showed up? Elijah, the prophet, the man of God. You talk about being busted. The Bible says, be sure your sins will what? Find you out. So the prophet Elijah rebuked the king and said, this same place where Naboth's blood was shed, shall your blood and the blood of your wife be shed. And so they were destroyed as well by the judgment of God because of their lying, their covetous, their stealing, and their murder. That's a graphic explanation or illustration, excuse me, of what it means to do destructive lying. In Leviticus 19, verse 16, it says, do not go about spreading slander among the people. How important that is. I don't know if you heard this week, and you talk about lying directly. Could politicians lie more than they do right now? Let me give you two. Gavin Newsom ran ads in Florida saying, come to California, we're here for you if you need an abortion. You know what he put on the sign? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's no greater commandment. So he's advertising, come to California to kill your baby because we want to love you as Jesus said. You talk about lying through your lips. Then wonderful Stacey Abrams, the gubernatorial candidate for Georgia. She was meeting at her alma mater and she was in a panel discussion. She said, when you go in to have a sonogram or have your baby checked and you hear the heartbeat, it's not really the baby's heart, it's a manufactured sound. But there really is no heartbeat. She said, this is just man's attempt to influence over women so they can control their bodies. And she's running to be governor of Georgia. And the liberal media says nothing about it. It's unbelievable what's going on. You're talking about liar, liar, pants on fire. In this case, liar, liar, skirts on fire. And it could go on and on and on and on. When you hear something about someone else, ask yourself, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it necessary to pass it on? Is it inspiring? Is it essential? Is it kind? Think about that before you go on. I heard about a woman in a church who was famous for gossip and slander. She came to her pastor and she said, Pastor, the Lord has really convicted me about my tongue. And I've repented and I've asked God to forgive me and I'm going to lay my tongue on the altar. Pastor said, there's not an altar big enough. Now, that was not me, by the way. I didn't say that. The power of the tongue to destroy. Make sure you're speaking the truth in love. And then secondly, there's defensive lying, often born out of fear. Fear to save face, or fear of embarrassment, or fear that we'll be found out, or fear to cover sins. I heard about a little boy in a Sunday school class. He was asked by his teacher, what is lying? The little boy thought for a minute. He said, lying is an abomination to God and the very present help in time of trouble. I don't think so. I think he got his verses confused. But so many times we lie to impress people, to think, let them think we're something we're not, or to protect ourselves from getting punished. We protect ourselves by lying. Kids learn that at such an early age. You know, you don't have to tell little kids how to lie. You ever notice that? It just flows naturally. Johnny, did you eat the cookies? No, crumbs all over his mouth. No, Mommy. You have to teach him always to tell the truth and to be honest. Peter was warming himself by the enemy's fire when Jesus was being tried in the court of Caiaphas. And the woman there at the fire said, aren't you one of his disciples? He said, no, I don't know the man. Three times he denied Christ. Out of fear of what might happen, he lied about his relationship to Jesus. So we often lie to cover our sin or to be protective of ourselves. And then there's defective lies. You say, aren't all lies defective? Yes, but I'm talking about those subtle lies. Sometimes we call them white lies. Lies don't come in colors, by the way. Well, it was just a white lie. Might have had a little gray in it, maybe a little gray. But it is a white lie. It won't hurt anybody. Let me give you some list of those. Flattery. Flattery is saying something to someone's face what you would never say behind their back. Gossip is saying behind their back what you would never say to their face. So flattery can be a form of lying, saying things that aren't true. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 5, Paul says, "For you know we never used flattery." And Proverbs 20, verse 19, "Do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." And then exaggerations. And we don't often even think about this as lying. This is a tough one for fishermen. Should have seen the one that got away. Exaggerating. False boasting. Many times in marriage we do this. You always. You never. Always. Never. You never put your socks in the clothes hamper. Yes, I did 25 years ago. I did it once. You're lying. Liar. You always, you never, we exaggerate or we expand. It's so sad and so tragic. We exaggerate reports for work or we exaggerate and extend our files and so forth. Many times, sadly, it comes into the church when pastors talk about the size of their church or the congregation they preach to. They speak evangelistically instead of evangelistically. Always stretching the numbers, trying to make themselves look better. That's so sad. And then there's what I call careless lying. People who are chronically inaccurate. It's called the lazy lie. Now, this is one of my pet peeves. If God hates lying, John Miller hates lazy lying. People who just throw out stuff, information, and you know they don't know what they're talking about. It's not factual, but they just kind of make it up. Just right then, right now. It's like, you don't know that. You just made that up right now. You ever known anybody that is an absolute expert in every area of life? When any topic comes up, they have something to say, and it's like, they just make it up to look good? It's like, I better stop right now. I'm going to get too wound up. Don't make stuff up. If you don't know anything about a subject, just keep your mouth shut. It's better to be silent and let people think you're smart than open your mouth and dispel all doubt that you're not smart. And don't make stuff up. What is with these people? They think they have to be experts in every field. Just say, you know, I don't know that. People who really do know admit they don't know what they don't know. That's a smart person. And then there's also insinuation. This is a subtle form of lying. Insinuating. Satan did that in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? I got a demon fly right now. Someone just released a fly to torment me. Beelzebub has arrived. But the insinuating, like you just make this insinuating remark and you just kind of look a certain way and people know that you're insinuating something other than what you've actually said. That is a form of subtle lying. And then silence, not correcting untrue statements. If you're in a group of people and someone says something about somebody else and you know it's not true, then speak up. Let them know, you know what, that's not true. Well, they might not like me. They might kick me out of the group. So let them not like you, kick you out of the group. Stand up for truth. When you know that something is false and you keep silent, then you're complacent in that lie. And then distortion. This is a real common form of lying. False teachers who twist the truth to gain a power over people. Whenever I turn the television on and I watch sometimes television preachers, and I'm analyzing their preaching of the text, which is usually a pretext for a sermonette for Christianettes. They read the text, they spring from the text, and never the twain shall meet, the sermon or the text. And they twist the scriptures to their own liking, to their own gain, to gain a following and influence over other people. God hates that kind of distortion. And then secondly, we can lie to ourselves. This is called self-deception. James chapter 1, verse 26, if any man among you thinks himself to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Interesting, that's the only place in the Bible the word religion appears. What it means is that you are living out the way you believe. You're living out your Christianity. So if you think you're a real Christian, but you don't control your tongue, then you are self-deceived and you're lying to your own heart. That's a really tragic way to lie. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. So when you're thinking too highly of yourself, that's a form of self-deception. Don't believe Satan's lies. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Satan tells people you're not a sinner, and people believe it. Satan tells people that God will not judge you, and we believe it. Satan says there's no hell, and we believe it. Satan tells people only good people go to heaven. You're a good person. God won't judge you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. So the way to counteract Satan's lies and self-deception is to have your mind renewed in the truth of God's Word. Thy Word is truth. Reading the Word, let it sanctify you by the power of the Spirit of truth and form you into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, we also can lie to God. Remember the story in Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira? The church was growing, it was young, and beginning of the growth of the early church. And people were selling their property and giving it to the church to distribute to those who were in need. They had all things in common. And Ananias and Sapphira thought, this is pretty good. They saw the platitudes that people were getting, the recognition. So they said, let's sell our property. But let's agree together, husband and wife, that we won't give all the proceeds from our sale of our property to God. We'll just give a portion of it, but we're going to pretend, it's called hypocrisy, we're going to make believe that we're giving it all to God and everyone will clap for us and it'll be awesome. So the congregation gathered together. Ananias came first without his wife, and he took the money from his sale of his property, portion of it, and he laid it down at the apostles' feet. And everybody clapped for him. But Peter got a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit. Says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? You kept back part of the price of the land, but you've made as though you sold it all and gave it all to God. Now, their land, he says, was their own. It was yours to sell or not to sell. If you only wanted to give a portion, that's fine. So the sin lie in their hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is lying not only to people, but it's lying to God. But God sees through it. And then he went on to say, you have not lied unto men, but Ananias, you have lied unto who? To God. Which is actually a reference to the fact that the Holy Spirit is God. You lied to the Spirit, you lied to God, and we can lie to God by hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is speaking under a mask, a phony mask, not really being who you really are. So if you're playing the part of a hypocrite in your home and at work or at church, God sees the real issue. He sees your heart. You can't fool God. But this is lying to God, pretending you're something when you are not. And Ananias was struck dead. You know the story, by the way. You don't think God takes lying seriously or hypocrisy seriously? And they took him out and buried him. Think about that. People are dropping dead in the church service. Then his wife comes in. Peter says, tell me, Sapphira, did you sell the land for so much? And she said, yes. He said, why have you conspired with your husband to lie against the Holy Spirit? The same feet who just took your husband and buried him are coming in to pick you up. And she fell down dead, and they carried her out and buried her. And then it's kind of interesting, the Bible says, no man dared join himself to that church. I ain't going to that church. They're dying over there. You know, thank God he doesn't judge us the same today as he did at that time. Church was early. He wanted the purity maintained. We wouldn't make it through a song service, right? Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite will I with all. Boom, 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 boom. People are dropping dead. The morticians will come forward now and take out the dead. Pretty serious. Whoa, I'm finding another church to go to. That's a form of lying. Don't play the hypocrite. Be honest with your neighbor. Be honest with yourself. And be honest with God. Speak the truth in love. Now, lastly, how do we win over lying? Well, two simple things. If you're a Christian, first of all, make sure you are truly born again. If you have not been born again, you are not a Christian. No one's a Christian who's a Christian in name only. Just professing to be a Christian, just going to the church doesn't make you a Christian. You must be born again. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of truth in your heart. And if you don't know, then repent. Believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's any hypocrisy, any duplicity, any form of deceit or lying in your heart or mind, you need to repent of it today. And ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. Pray, read your Bible, and fellowship with believers. In Ephesians 4, verse 25, wherefore put away lying, speak everyone truth to his neighbor. But if you're not a Christian, why not? You're in the grip of Satan. You're believing Satan's lies. Maybe Satan is lying to you right now, saying, you got plenty of time to get right with God. You got plenty of time to repent of your sins. Or maybe saying, God isn't really going to send anyone to hell. God won't judge you. Don't believe that. So you need to repent and reject Satan's lies. You need to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Trust him today. And then you also need to turn to Jesus and yield your life to him and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Spirit of holiness is the Spirit of truth. When he's working in the heart of the believer, you cannot practice deceit. You cannot practice lying. Write down Revelation 21:8. It says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now this could go on, and I could quote verse after verse after verse after verse. Liars won't be in heaven, but redeemed liars, forgiven liars, regenerated liars will be. Amen? Let's bow our heads on a word of prayer.